Welcome to Gardening Talk back on 2NURFM 103.7. If you've got a question for Judy Sharp, 4921 6216. And welcome back, Judy.
Thank you, Greg. Good to be here. Wonderful day and wonderful company.
It is a beautiful day. It's a good day to be in the garden, I think, today.
I think so too. But we need them to get out of the garden and come in and chat to us.
Have a bit of a break for a second. Yeah. Just a break for the next hour or
lunch,
so.
Yeah.
Now, I got a little message early this week, Judy. Question about hippiastrums.
Oh, yes. This lady rang in because she's driving, mm-hmm. and she just wanted some advice about hippiastrums, as she said. Her leaves are dying off, and she isn't aware that it is growing season. So she's wondering why the leaves are dying off. Should she be doing anything such as feeding? Well, I suppose it is getting to be that time, Rhonda. It wouldn't hurt to put a little bit of cow manure around them. But, you know, the leaves, I wonder if they're being eaten by grubs. Just check the back of the grubs.
Well, if you're checking the back of the grubs, you know it's grubs.
just bear with me there, please. Yes, so if you could just check the back of the leaves, Rhonda, that'd be wonderful. And just give them a little bit of cow manure. And, you know, they're going to be fine, I'm sure. They'll be ready for you in spring. Thank you for the call.
All rightio, thank you there. And we've got Anthony now from Curry, and he's got white mould on the top of his indoor plant soil.
Oh. Hello, Anthony.
G'day, Judy. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you.
Good. I've got, Judy, some white mould growing on the top of the soil on my indoor plant.
Right, okay. White fuzzy stuff. Okay, so what have you been doing with the indoor plants, Anthony? Overwatering them?
Well, I didn't think so. They get a once-a-week good dunking, like a sit on the sink, wet their pants, and then back into their...
Right, okay.
...receptacles.
Yeah. So what have you got in the cupboard at home, Anthony?
In the cupboard.
You know, some kind of fungicide I'm looking for?
No.
You haven't got any?
No. What should I be buying, Judy?
Oh, just an all-purpose fungicide. Maybe Mancozeb?
Right.
And what I'd do, though, I think you need to turn the soil over.
As in repot the plants, do you mean?
No. Just get your little trowel and turn the soil over.
Oh, righto.
Yeah. Okay. I don't know why it's happening to you, because I think you're a pretty good gardener, Anthony.
Yes, well, I'm not doing too bad, but this has got me stumped.
Oh, okay. Well, you can always ring me back and if you don't get unstumped, but I think if you turn the soil over and you get a fungicide and apply that, you shouldn't have any problems.
Does that fungicide just get watered on? Is that how that works?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Mix it up in a little spray bottle and spray it on the soil.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then turn it over.
Yeah. And are you seeing any damage happening, Anthony, to the plants?
One plant I lost completely. But that's the only one. I've had a couple of yellow leaves here and there.
Oh, okay. And have you got any maidenhair?
Oh, my maidenhair is going beautifully.
I thought that was going to be the case, Anthony. Well, I don't know what you're doing to everything else because you're a pretty good gardener. So I hope that hint helps you and you'll ring us back and let us know if I've bombed out, won't you?
Oh, yes, Judy, I will do that.
Okay, thanks for the call, Anthony. Talk to you again.
Okay, Bye.
Thanks, Anthony. You've got Beverly now from Mark's Point, and something is eating her pumpkins.
Oh, hello, Beverly. That's no good.
Hello, Judy. How are you?
I'm very well. Are they all ready to eat, are they?
Yeah, when they get to sort of picking stage, I go down to pick them and half of it's eaten. It's sort of too big for mice.
No, but it could be the bigger version of mice. It could be rats.
Okay. Mm. All right.
Yeah. And, you know, I think it wouldn't be possums because it'd be hard for a possum to break open, but something with big teeth could do it.
Okay. I'll get some rat sack down there.
Yeah, and I think too, my son was doing a bit of cleaning out my garage recently and he said, Mum, I think you've had a visitor. I nearly died. So, Beverly, they're looking for warmth and, you know, they're hungry as well with the winter has been. So I think that you're going to find that's what it is.
Okay, well, the pumpkin's behind the garage, so, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, okay, but just make sure when you're using rat sack, you haven't got any creatures around, have you?
I've got a cat and a dog. The cat's an inside one, but if I put it inside the garage, she doesn't go in there, so...
Okay, rightio. Just be very careful with it, though.
Yeah,
okay.
Will do.
All okay, right, Beverly, let us know how you go.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, bye.
Bye.
We've got Sharon from Kays Beach, and she's got a question about rucksack.
Hello, Karen. Sharon, sorry.
Hi, Judy. I was just really surprised to hear you recommending the use of rucksack. It just causes so much damage to our wildlife, to our native birds, the owls and the frogmouths that actually do eat rats, and there is so many of them being poisoned these days.
Sharon, look, yeah, I think that's of a concern, I really do. But the lady I had spoken to, you know, we talked through it and she was going to put it inside the garage.
Yes, but even then the rat goes outside of the garage and that's where it's killed by the, a native bird may then pick up the rat and it's secondary poisoning.
Oh, look, that's something we really have to consider, Sharon, isn't it?
And it is,
I do appreciate your call, yeah, but, you know, I suppose sometimes it's difficult to give people advice, you know, because they can just go out and buy things. I'd rather give them the advice and qualify it. You did hear me say, look, you've got to be very, very careful where
you
put
it. Yes, I did hear you say that, but I just think to make people aware that when they use these products, it does have a flow-on effect. You know, the amount of poisons that we're putting into our native animals and onwards into ourselves these days. Really, really dangerous. And so many people, you know, believe all the advertising on products and they don't look at the warnings. And that's really, really dangerous.
Right. Okay, Sharon. Look, I have to say we really appreciate your call today and I'm sure the other listeners out there will take on board your advice. Thank you very much for ringing, Sharon.
We've got Danny now from Curry and she's looking for the best time to transplant a frangipani from a pot.
Hello, Danny.
Hi, Judy. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. Had to wait on a little while. Sorry about that.
Never a problem.
Look, you could probably do it now. But, you know, they're not going to get much growth on them straight away because, you know, July is going to be a bit pretty of a cold time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've got, and then we've got August, but I'd leave it probably till the end of July now.
How big a pot would you put it into? Because I don't want to put it in the ground because I know they just, the roots go everywhere and we're just about to do a build, so that's a no-go zone. But how big a pot would you put it in?
Oh, look, how big is it now? Has it got a fair trunk on it?
Not a massive trunk. It's probably a bit thicker than a normal adult's arm. So it's still probably a juvenile.
Right.
I don't know how long my partner's had it there for. It was given to him when his mother passed away.
Oh, right, so we want to take care of that, of course. Look, I think you probably have to go to probably a 250ml size pot.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what size you've got it in now. Have you got it in a 200ml?
No. It's not very big at all.
Rightio.
It's probably getting strangled. Would you make sure the bottom's got a fair bit of drainage as well?
Oh, yes, definitely.
How's the best way to do that?
Oh, look, you know, when you buy your pot, you're probably going to put it in just a black plastic one, aren't you?
Probably.
Yeah, well, those 250ml pots, they have good drainage holes in them.
Okay, great.
I'm not sure where you'll grab one at Curry, but, you know, you will find one somewhere.
All right. I was going to say, is there any sort of feed I should be putting it with as well?
Look, at the moment, probably not, but use a really good potting mix.
Okay.
I'm babying two frangipanis from Scott at the moment. He decided he was going to have a bit of a clean out, and so I've been watering them for the last 3 or 4 months.
Oh, goodness.
And of course, they've got no leaves now, but I don't think he's taking them in a hurry somehow. So, look, they're hard to kill is what I'm trying to say to you, Danny, hard to kill.
They're very hard. That's why I didn't want to put in the ground, because once they're in the ground, they're a pain in the bottom to get back out.
But in your case, it's something special, so let's treat it properly.
All right. No, great. Thank you so much, Judy. I appreciate your help.
Oh, you're welcome, Danny, anytime. Bye.
Take care. Bye.
If you've got them for 3 months, I think you've got them permanently, Judy. If you've had those frangipanis for 3 months.
And what about the bamboo in a trough? What about the Kentia palms? Come and visit me, Greg. I've got a nursery in my yard.
Sounds like you put me to work. We've got Marie from Tea Gardens, and she's got an idea that what might be eating the pumpkins.
Oh, okay. What's your take on it, Marie?
Oh, good morning, Judy. Oh, good afternoon now, I think it is.
Yep.
It is. Lunchtime for you all.
So they are pumpkins, and we left a couple of small ones on the vine, and they're just being attacked by the satin bower birds, and it's taken them 2 days to eat a small pumpkin.
Right.
There's quite a bit left there now, so they love them, and they just demolish them, you know, in a couple of days. So that might be what is eating that lady's pumpkins, if she has bower birds around the area.
Oh, right, okay. Marie, I was thinking about that too, darling, but I think they're very big pumpkins, hers.
Yeah, well, I don't care. My husband's a big one too.
Oh, right, okay, rightio.
But we've got a flock of about 15 in the summer they breed here and bring their babies out. And
Marie, how do you cope with the birds doing it, though?
We can't have a garden here because of the satin birds.
Right. Okay, yeah. Look, thank you very much for that. And I'm sure that other lady's still listening, so that's very helpful. Thanks, Marie.
We've got Maureen from New Lambton, and she's got a question about the red Flanders poppy.
Hello, Maureen. What can I help you with?
Hello, Judy. Oh, wasn't that music beautiful?
It was.
Oh, it's really always hard. I was singing along with that.
Yeah, Maureen, I do sometimes.
Yeah,
and I have to be careful because Greg starts to laugh.
It gets very frustrating on this end.
And he's trying to cut me off. I don't know why because, you know, I've not got a bad voice.
Well, I've always been tone deaf, so I can't hear me.
But well, anyway. I'm tone deaf anyway, I have to confess. Now, what could I help you with, Maureen?
I've had some red Flanders poppies in for ages, and I've had three come up, you know, with the poppy on the top, and nothing's happened.
Right, okay. So
is
did
it
you
too
plant
late
them?
To have them in? Or?
Oh, did you plant them from seed, Maureen?
No, I bought little plants.
Oh, how long ago did you buy them?
I'd say 2 months.
Oh, look, it might have been coming on to cold weather, but, yeah. they might even self-sow, so stick with it if you can.
They
are they in the
so
ground
healthy.
Or have you got them in pots?
No, I've got them in the ground at the front.
Right.
They look so healthy, the plants. They're so big and vigorous.
Right.
But
no
all
flowers.
Plants, as I said, I must have about eight
right.
of them. And I've got three stems coming up, and the poppy at the top just sits there and doesn't open.
Right, okay. Now what we need is some flourish for flowering.
I've had it on.
You've had it on, okay.
I've done everything for it.
I wonder if it's just a nasty winter.
Well, perhaps it could be.
It could be.
I thought perhaps too much rain, but as I said, it looks so vigorous. And
then
thought,
the stem comes up and nothing
no.
after that.
No.
Yeah.
No,
Maureen,
and all the rest of them haven't even got a stem on it.
Yeah, look, it's a difficult one to answer, but I'm sure
okay.
we might have someone out there listening.
Yeah.
That is a poppy expert.
Okay. When do they normally flower?
Oh, look, they normally flower a lot earlier than this.
Or yeah, that's what I
sometimes,
thought.
Sometimes poppies do flower in spring, you know, but the Flanders could be just a little bit different.
Yeah.
You know, so I'd leave them in there and see what happens, but keep that flourish up every week.
Yes, I have been fooding it, you know, and I thought perhaps I've given it too much, but never mind.
No, you could give it too much, no.
Okay, love.
No. Look, they're pretty easy to grow. I shouldn't say that, but they are.
I know. I just can't get the flower to open.
Anyway, have you got them in the full sun, haven't you?
Yes. Well, it's still the sun now and it's just starting to go off. It gets, you know, quite a few hours sun in the morning.
Right. Yeah. Well, don't forget, we haven't had a lot of sun, and morning sun is not the hottest one either.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, well. Yeah. Yeah, so that could be it too.
It could be it, definitely.
Okay. All right, I'll keep listening anyway. Thanks, Judy.
Thanks, Maureen. I hope someone else rings in with an answer for you.
Yes. Okay. Thanks very much, Judy.
Okay. Thank you. Bye.
We've got Christopher now from Corlett's, and he's got curl leaf on citrus trees.
Oh, Christopher, I have too.
Yes, it seems like a common problem, but I've got three citrus trees. I've got an orange, a lemon and a lime. And I've tried everything. I've sprayed oil on them. I've sprayed all sorts of things. And I still get the leaf just seems to curl up on them. And I just don't know what to do any longer. I was hoping you might have some ideas.
I have got a couple for you. Have you tried copper oxychloride?
No.
Okay. Well, I've just sprayed mine, not with copper oxychloride, because mine's only a baby. But copper oxychloride should clean that up. But, you know, the leaf curl, they still fruit. I never panic a lot about the leaf curl. I mean, it looks unsightly.
Yeah, they will. The funny thing is, the lemon tree, I get heaps of lemons off them, and it's full of lemons right now. The lime tree, I've only got about half a dozen limes off it, and I think that's because it's not getting enough sun. And the orange tree, I only put in, I don't know, 2 years ago now, and 18 months, 2 years ago, and I don't think it's big enough to fruit, but certainly I haven't had much luck with the lime tree, but the lemon tree is doing very well.
Well, Christopher, citrus do need full sun.
Yes.
Yeah, so if the lime's not getting full sun and your lemon is, well, you know, that's the reason why they're fruiting better than the lime. But mine is a lime, and I don't think they're as tough as the lemons are. But honestly, if you could get some copper oxychloride and spray that leaf curl. But I did try something different this weekend, Greg. Remember I talked about multi-crop?
Yep.
Yeah, I found this new spray. It's in an easy-to-use one, and it's an eco product. It's eco pest oil, and it's made by multi-crop. And you'll see it on a supermarket shelf.
I think I might have already tried that.
Oh, okay. Well, we've got to go to the big guns now, copper oxychloride.
Okay.
Okay, good luck with that, Christopher.
Thanks very much, Judy.
Okay, bye.
Thank you. Bye.
And, Judy, you want to look at spring annuals, but it's winter. What are we looking at? Well, we've got to get ready for it now.
Yes, of course we do, Greg. Didn't you hear me go...
Then. Well, I don't know what... What's best to know what that means?
Well, that means... Yeah. Greg, we've been doing this for some years now, and...
I thought you were hungry. It's just...
No. It was
right.
Sorry, listeners. Sometimes it is difficult here at work. And, you know, he's a very lovely young man, but, you know, sometimes he just wants to make it difficult for me. But, okay, Greg, spring annuals. How far away are we?
From spring, at least 2 months.
No, maybe a month and a half. It starts to pick up in August.
Okay, I was going to say September, but...
No. Anyway, why we're doing this now is because our listeners need to use Flourish every week.
Right, every week.
Every week on the spring annuals. Now, when I talk spring annuals, you'll know what I'm talking about, of course. Pansies, sweet peas.
Yep.
Primula, stocks, and poppies. We just had a lady ring in about the poppies.
I just remembered when I thought sweet peas was the actual sweet pea, not the not the flower.
You did too.
I got a bit of stick about that for a few weeks.
Did you? Yeah. Well, you deserve to. You deserve to. Yeah, so that's my big hint for today. We want lovely flowers in spring.
Yep.
And you need to start working on it because, boy, they've been knocked around this year, haven't they?
Well, it's been a bit all over the place again. And now we've got nice days today.
Yep, yep. But so go out with a flourish today, listeners, and give your annuals a nice drink.
And, well, speaking of flowering then, we've got to prune our roses as well.
Yes, we do. Okay, you ready?
Yeah, ready
now,
for
this, it. Now, this is a lot of work now, Greg.
Okay, yep.
Yep. Well, it's rose pruning time.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not in the frost areas.
Right.
Okay, you don't prune now if you're in the frost areas,
so
you know.
So from all the coastal areas?
Yeah, yeah. Yep. In the Hunter Valley, you wouldn't prune your roses now. And when you've pruned them, you cut off any of the, how can I explain it? I'm a very good rose pruner, but it's something you need to do and show people.
Right.
We're not on telly, so I can't do it. Look, they'll have some dead wood, it's called.
Okay.
Dead wood. Yep. And you cut off all the dead wood, and you probably would take maybe 2/3 of the growth off now, and then fertilise with poultry manure.
All right, here.
3 weeks later, what are we going to do? Rose food.
Yes.
Okay. sometimes it's difficult, isn't it, Greg? but what about climbers? We don't prune them until after they flower in spring.
Okay, so we live. Don't worry about those ones. Just
No. Because if you prune them now, you'll cut off all their flowering growth.
And they won't climb, I'm assuming.
They're pretty prolific climbers. The most important thing is you don't cut off their new growth because that's where they flower from. So you prune every other rose now.
Yep.
That is standards, bush roses, floribundas. But definitely not your climbers. There you go.
It's Gardening Talk back on 2NURFM. We've got time for a couple more calls. We've got Elizabeth from Port Stephens, and she's got, well, her camellia leaves have all gone yellow.
Hello, Elizabeth.
Hello, Judy. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. Now, have you turned them over and looked at the back?
Yes, I haven't. I can't see any little mites or anything.
There's
on the back.
There's no spider mite?
No.
Okay, could it be, is it in a very, well, although Port Stephens, you'd drain very quickly, wouldn't you?
Yes, it drains fairly quickly there, and it's in a, it's not full sun, but it's not full shade, it's a bit of both. It sort of gets the morning sun and a bit more shade in the afternoon, and the buds are just, they haven't broken yet, but they're getting pretty full, and I didn't know whether to feed it with a bit of Epsom salts or just some flourish.
Oh, look, it's in the ground, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, yes. No, look at Port Stephens. I've given them cow manure.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Oh, definitely cow manure. Even peat moss is very good, you know, around the roots.
Yep.
Yes, because they're acid lovers.
They have been like this for some time. It sort of started last year, actually, and I didn't do anything with it, but they're just getting a lot worse now. The leaves aren't fully yellow. They're not falling off or anything, but it's just sort of patches of yellow.
Yeah, no, they just need a little bit of cow manure.
Okay.
I'm sure you'll notice a difference.
Okay, thank you. If it is spider mite, what do you spray for that?
Well, then you have to use a systemic spray, and you'd have to go looking for David Gray's that you put around the root system. And it's, because you can no longer buy any of the nasties, but you can still buy David Gray's because you're not spraying it.
Yeah. Last year I put some soapy water on them and that seemed to help it a bit.
Yeah,
just
look.
A mix of soapy water.
I think really, when you talk about your soil, I think we need cow manure, dear.
Okay. Well, I've got a bag of that.
Oh, excellent. Go for it, Elizabeth. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks.
Bye.
Oh, one more thing. I have got a little. Are you there?
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. I have got a little African violet that's growing, you know, the little creeper one that's growing around the base of it. Should I pull that back from it or not?
Oh, yes, doesn't yeah, because yeah, it could be just affecting the root system.
Yeah, that's what I wondered. Yep. Yeah, okay, I'll okay. do that as well.
Thanks, Elizabeth. Bye.
Thank you. Bye.
We've got May from Burigal. How can we help you, May?
I've got a tipitina that's just kind of breaking into flower. It's only a couple of years old, but the leaves have kind of gone black and the wood was almost rotting, dead.
Okay. May,
I gave
would
it
you...
a dose of Epsom salts and it seems to have bucked up a bit. I've got more green leaves on it now than I had.
Okay. Now, May, have you got any copper oxychloride in the cupboard?
No.
Well, I think you probably should invest in some and give it a good spray with it. But, you know, at the moment, I suppose because it's making all the flowers, that also stresses them a little bit. But I don't know about the Epsom salts, but I'd certainly like to see you spray with copper oxychloride.
Spray the plant with it. All of the leaves that were on it when it was really dead have basically gone black and fallen off and there's new growth on it.
Right, okay.
Sustaining it, but the wood just looks bad.
Yeah, okay. Well, the copper oxychloride should do the job.
And just, do you get a mix and just spray it over?
Spray it over. And, May, you could give us a ring again next week after you spray it and let me know if that's had any of results for you.
Okay. Thanks a lot.
Okay. Copper oxychloride, you got it?
I got it.
Okay. Thanks, May. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you very much, May. Judy Sharp, we've got about a minute left, but do you want to have a quick look, took a look at strawberries?
Oh, yes.
Everyone loves strawberries.
Oh, everyone loves strawberries, but the ones you buy have got no taste.
Okay, well, okay.
You know, that not very much taste. That's why you've got to grow them.
Yep.
Okay, they can be planted now in a sunny position with well-drained soil, Greg, well-drained soil.
Yep.
And the soil should be prepped with an animal manure. Perhaps a little bit of, a bit of cow manure even,
yep.
A bit of cow manure, and a small amount of sulphate of potash, which helps them flower. What happens when they flower?
They grow fruit.
That's where the fruit come out of.
Exactly. Well, okay, yep.
Sulphate of potash to make the strawberries flower.
Perfect. Okay, so, and we've got to start planting them now.
Yes. Or if you've got them in, you now need to fertilise and do the sulphate of potash.
Rightio. I have issues with strawberries. They never seem to... I don't know if I... Maybe I'm not looking after them enough.
But do you think it's because you're planting them near the chilies?
Well, they're next to it. There's not much room.
Well, one's sweet and the other one's hot.
Well, what's that got to do with...
I don't know. Let's change it.
Rightio. Judy Sharp, we're just about run out of time.
Sorry, no more advice for that, Greg.
We'll catch you again next Monday.
Okay, bye.
Thanks for listening to this podcast from 2NURFM at the University of Newcastle. You'll find them all at 2NURFM.com.